Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's original. 103.7 WEEI. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Now it's time for Meter and the Coach with John Meter Perrell and former Providence College men's basketball coach Tim Welsh. Call the show at 401-737-1287. Southern New England's sports original. 103.7 WEEI.
Well, let it be said on a Sunday morning, post Thanksgiving. We'll start, Tim, at 7 o'clock straight up because you love time checks. I'm going to get this out of the way quickly, and then we'll move on. We'll probably circle back because that's what we do. It was a catch. Period. It was a catch. Hunter Henry, touchdown. It was a catch. Can we get that out of the way?
What do you got, your Pat socks on this morning? as you say, on a Sunday morning at 7:01. You just got your Patriot socks on.
Well, listen, I've seen it play about 300,000 times.
Not according to NBC's referee analyst, Terry McCauley. He says it's an obvious no catch.
Did you like the explanations of the guy who analyzes games for a living? That's the problem with this rule. People don't know what it is. People don't understand. Everybody's, Jason Garrett's talking around it. Tony Dungy's talking around it. Mike Tirico's talking around it. Terry McCauley's talking around it. It's not definitively laid out. Did I lose you?
Oh, coaches had it with the catch talk.
I was going to say, Joe, it's 7:01. He's had it. He's reconnecting. We apologize, folks. We are going 2020 Zoom style again. I am on location in a little bit, and Tim's on location as well. So, Joe, you had your show. God, you had your – I saw your social media. You were tweeting. You were posting. You had your show debut last week, even though you're on every week. It was the co-host, Joe Passarelli.
Yeah. Honored to close out the show with you, Mariano Rivera style. Very cool, as Coach, the busy man that he is, was catching a flight.
Yes, he is. He's a very, very busy guy. Tim, you froze on us. You like this conversation so much, you froze.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've already forgotten about that, actually. Moving on to bigger and better things. You know, what gets me is that Patriots fans, you win, you beat the Jets. You win, you beat the Colts. And you win, you beat the Jets. And all you do is complain about the quarterback. The quarterback's not good enough. The offensive coordinator's not good enough. The scheme's not good enough. Then you lose and you score some points and everything's fine. And it's the ref's fault. I don't get it. You play, as my good friend Herm Edwards would say, to win the game. Isn't that what he said?
Yep.
Somebody said it. So anyway. Yeah, it was probably a catch, but you know, you and your fans with your socks have had enough luck over the years. Enough good fortune. Enough good fortune.
Don't lump me in with my socks, all right? I do wear a Stanley Morgan throwback jersey on occasion, but no, and you're right about the fandom. The fandom now needs to shut up. Fandom now needs to say, Mac is our guy, and you ride him like he, you know, they should have last year, or like the coaching staff should have last year. In 2022, and they set him back, and yada, yada, yada. We don't have to go through that. He finally looked like the Mac Jones we thought he was going to look like. And, you know, you can't really complain about the offense. They played much better than I thought they would. Minnesota's defense isn't good. But okay, Patriots took advantage of that. What you can complain about, Patriots Nation, is your defense. It stinks. And it stinks right now. And I don't want to hear that they held the Jets to 3 points. I don't want to hear that they shut down Sam Ellinger. This is what you've all been waiting for. Better competition. How do you perform against better competition? Minnesota Vikings, top 10 offense. You stunk. They moved the ball down the field at will. They couldn't stop them. This is what bugs me. It gets lost. Your defense is bad. Your defense doesn't really have that many playmakers. Forget about Matthew Judon. Stop. Just stop. If Matthew Judon has a good game against good competition, take a bow. Right now, not a great big game player. He has a lot of, as you would say in basketball, they stuck the stat sheet against lesser opponents.
I heard some people pulling for him to be the defensive player of the year, but I think Micah Parsons would have something to say with that. About that, you know, just watch the games, watch Micah Parsons out there. I mean, listen, Judon, it doesn't matter who wins that those awards mean nothing to me, but you know, like you say, that when the competition steps up, I mean, they are who they are. They have been all year. They may sneak into the playoffs and be who they were last year, you know, one and done. That's what it looks like. You know, you're going to have to go on the road and win, or some, you know, you got your opportunities right in front of you. This is what you do. You have the opportunity with the Bills twice coming up, and let's see who you are.
Yeah, and it's all just a Thursday night narrative now. They're coming back. What is the NFL doing to them? They're playing on Thursday night, back-to-back Thursday nights. You love that as well. As Buffalo comes in here Thursday night, Gillette Stadium, big night for Joe the Beer Man.
That's right.
What no doubt will be a frigid Thursday, but it doesn't set up well. Buffalo's a much better team. I know Buffalo's not playing great. We saw that on Thanksgiving. They survived the Lions. You're pesky. You're a huge Dan Campbell fan. There's no bigger Dan Campbell fan than Tim Welsh.
Yeah, Dan Campbell. He's
done a great job with the Lions. Listen, the Lions have played better lately. But anyway, why are we talking about the Lions?
We're not. I'm just talking about the Bills and what happened on Thursday is. You know,
oh, the comeback. The comeback, yeah.
The comeback. Come on now. I mean, a lot of your Buffalo fans are all over that. The snowbound, the Detroit Bills, they're calling them. They played two in a row in Detroit.
Well, they had a week in Detroit, so.
I believe they actually flew back to Buffalo and then came back to Detroit Wednesday, which befuddles me.
That didn't make sense to me.
Hey, they wanted to be home with their families for a few days, check on the snow situation. But listen, I had nothing against Detroit. I like Detroit. Actually, they just got another Final Four, believe it or not. The Final Four has been awarded again to the fine city of Detroit. That's what we need, Meter. We need a dome up here so we can get the Final Four in Boston.
You'd think the crash, you know, they would be all over that.
Well, yeah, I mean.
We're going to put a retractable roof over Gillette Stadium for a month.
Well, you get the Super Bowl. You get the Final Four. I mean, you know, there's a lot that goes with it. Nashville's doing it. Nashville's going to get a Final Four. Nashville's going to get a Super Bowl. They're building a new stadium with a roof. Yeah. I believe it has a roof. So anyway.
It's the zany NFL. We saw you probably in your, you know, after your Thanksgiving dinner, the 42 million people watched the Dallas game. And I know Griff Welsh was one of them. Along with the entire Welsh field. That's the highest rated game of all time.
We were watching our Cowboys. Yeah, they're one of our faves. We like the Cowboys. And, you know, they look good. They look good. You know, the Cowboys, Bucks, sign me up right now for NFC title game. That would be one to watch.
You're not buying the Eagles?
No, I'm not buying the Eagles. I'm not buying the quarterback. I'm not buying their coach. Got a lot of weapons. They've got a good defense, but let's see them. Let's see them. What happens down the stretch?
Why are we?
How about the Vikings? You buy the Vikings after the Cowboys pummeled them last week?
Well, that stunned me. I love, you know, the Vikings are an entertaining watch. There's no one better than Justin Jefferson. Period. By far the best receiver on the planet. I love Stephon Diggs. There's a lot of receivers I love. Justin Jefferson's number one. I'll take Justin Jefferson. You can take the field. That's where it's at right now. He is that good. Kirk Cousins, you never know what you're getting. clearly erratic. What is it with Belichick and Adam Thielen, by the way? Why does he hate Adam Thielen? Am I missing something?
Give me more.
I don't know. He bumped him at the end of the game. Everyone says Belichick still hates Adam Thielen. What did I miss?
Yeah, I missed that. That's for sure. I didn't see that.
It was on social media and like everything else. And it was just, I think Thielen went to shake.
Guys are that are in that. Listen, I'm all for guys working late into their twilight of their life. It's okay. But don't be bumping people in your 70s. Yeah, don't be trying to start anything. Or 60s. Or 60s. Yeah, back up a little bit, you know.
That brings us to, you know, again, we're all over the map on a Sunday, like we always are from 7 to 9, but that brings us to Boeheim. Jim Boeheim and Jared Grosso yesterday at the Carrier Dome. I'm not even starting with college football because that was what a crazy day yesterday in college football. Everything's on the table, by the way, at 401-737-1287. It is, if you love college football, which you should, it is, again, producing every week. Every game's a playoff game. Every game, you don't know what the result's going to be. Every game's nuts. There's turnover all the time. And it's great theater. Again, you want to be entertained? Watch college football. Were you entertained watching Jim Boeheim's Orange against Bryant? Bryant pulls the quote upset at the Dome to drop Syracuse to 3-3, and then the theatrics at the end of the game.
Well, you know, there's a lot that went into that game. First of all, there's some history from a year ago when Bryant went into Syracuse, almost beat them. They had a big lead, and Syracuse was on a pause from COVID, and they came back. And so, you know, they're playing this game against Bryant. Bryant's a dangerous team. There's a fight or a couple slaps. Doug Eadert slaps Judah Mintz after he got kind of tapped on the chin. And Eadert and John Bolk from Syracuse was chasing him around the arena. And he was running from him. If you're going to slap somebody, you got to stay in the fray, don't you? You got to kind of hang in there and not run the other way and then take your shirt off as you're leaving the arena. That was that part I thought was weak. They threw assistant coaches out of the game, two for Syracuse, one for Bryant, or one or two. I'm not sure exactly. And that's a ridiculous rule, too. The assistant coaches should be allowed to leave the bench to break up a fight. Clearly, the assistant coaches are not going onto the floor. Most assistant coaches are not going on the floor. Although one of Bryant's was kind of losing his mind over there. I don't know. Not sure of all their assistants' names. It wasn't Phil Martelli Jr. who was thrown out of the game as well. He was trying to help break it up along with Adrian Autry and Alan Griffin. But assistant coaches should be able to go on the floor and help, you know, help with the situation because the referees were not doing their job. So they threw these guys out of the game, one for Syracuse, three players for Bryant, and then the game went down to the final buzzer. Bryant was excited. They stomped on the logo. They didn't shake hands. Jim Boeheim was upset about it. He said something to Jared Grosso, and Jared responded, I guess. Jim said it was a sarcastic apology, so whatever. None of those things matter, really. I mean, Bryant's got a good team. They may have to learn how to win a little bit. You know, the energy and character and, you know, that they're trying to provide every day. I respect that. They work hard. They've done a good job with the program. But, you know, there's also the respect factor of, you know, just of your opponent. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's Syracuse or Albany in their conference. You know, you have to do it the right way. And that goes for all teams. And it's easier said than done. You're playing in the moment. You're excited about the win. But those are teaching moments that, you know, coaches have to have with their players. And you got to shake hands with the other team. And then you celebrate in your locker room. I'm not big on the stomping of the logo or the planting of the flag like they do now these days on the football field.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm glad you brought that up because that happened last night at Chestnut Hill. Syracuse beats BC. They totally outplay them in the second half. 32-23, Eagle season over. Syracuse comes out in the field with a big flag, and they plant it, creates issues. There was issues before that. Both sides had to be separated. You're right. It's embarrassing. It's just,
well, you just beat a team with
middle finger
wins.
Without
you,
the middle
you just beat a team with three wins or whatever BC has, and you know, act like you belong. Act like you belong. It goes for everybody. You know, basketball, the same thing. It's like, you know, you just don't see Kansas do that, you know, under Bill Self. Or, you know, you gotta act like you've been there before, even on your way up. And I'm a big believer in that, you know. And you know, it was one of the first things going back to when I was a head coach at Ione, my first head coaching job. I learned that under Jim Boeheim. I paid attention to that. And, you know, we were trying to get the program up and running there, and we did. We got it going, and we were beating pretty much everybody, but we never put it in their face. And I would not allow it. And that's the thing. You know, do it in your locker room. That's fine. But, you know, listen, it's part of sports. It's learning. It's all a learning process when you're building a program. But yeah, I saw that in your football game, and I was surprised at that as well.
No, it's. I talked to someone associated with the Syracuse program. They were very upset about it, and you know, I think you should have been. I wasn't happy with the BC result either, with what BC was doing at the end of the game. Both sides were at fault. I know that's what everyone says. You know, Syracuse is at fault last night at the Dome with Jared Grosso's at fault, Jim Boeheim's at fault. You know, Boeheim's not the guy. You don't want to poke the bear. You know that better than anybody. And Boeheim's going to react in a public forum. If you poke the bear, he's going to react. And he knows how to do that with the media. He knows how to get his jabs in. Jared Grosso wears it on his sleeve. That's a situation there where it's a maturity issue, I think, Tim. I mean, if you have a coach who's 30 years in, do they react the way Jared Grosso reacts?
No, I mean, listen, I like Jared. I think he's done a great job there. And, you know, these are all things you self-evaluate yourself as a coach and your program all the time. And when certain situations come up, maybe you haven't covered them before. And now you got to cover this. You got to talk about it. You got to talk about it with your team. You got to talk about it with yourself. You got to talk about your athletic director. Got to talk to you about it. And it's all part of the image of the program. It's sure they're all trying to win, but you got to win in the right way. And that's probably what didn't happen. But give them credit; they went up there and won. They pretty much dominated the game. They lost three players to ejection, and they still hung in there and won. It was a terrific last second play. And they're a force. They're a force. They're going to be a force in their conference. And Jared's saying no one will schedule me, and I can understand why. I can understand why. He said, I'll play anybody anywhere, because they were talking about some of his early season games, you know, the one by over 100 points against some Division III team or something. So he was saying that no one will play us, but this is going to be a difficult thing. They can start beating the Syracuses of the world on the road. They're going to have a problem getting the game down the road. No. Not that you're not supposed to try to win, but it's like, you know, I was at the Amp yesterday and saw Providence just kind of walk through Columbia. Those are the type of games you need on Thanksgiving weekend. You need a Columbia to come in at 2-5 and walk that through the win.
Yeah, I did. You know, I saw Wake Forest Hampton yesterday on the ACC network. Wake Forest, 1,000 people in the arena. They beat Hampton 97-70, took care of business. But we've seen this year college basketball, similar to college football, there's a lot of parity, and the bye games are dangerous, and the so-called Power Five, they're going down left and right. It's happening every day, and the transfer portal has changed the business. It's a seismic shift.
Exactly, and the scheduling part of it, Meter, is that it becomes more difficult because, you know, right now you're trying to set your schedule for next year. Right now in November, even in the fall, even sooner than this, you're trying to get games on your schedule for next year because it's so competitive, you know, the non-conference stuff. Everyone's trying to figure out, you know, I want home games, I want wins. But you start scheduling these teams now, you don't know what they're going to look like next year. In the past, you could pretty much look at their lineup or, you know, who they have and who's coming back and who they signed in the early signing period and be able to evaluate if this team's going to be, you know, formidable or not next year. Can't do that anymore. I mean, if you looked at Bryant's roster a year ago from today, it looks totally different. Not totally, but it's, you know, they brought in a bunch of, I think, 7 transfers, I believe. So, and that's hard to gauge when you're doing your schedule at this time of year. Then if you wait, then you end up having to play a Bryant. You know, you end up having to schedule somebody because you got to put somebody in that slot. So it's a tricky thing now, and it's a dangerous, you know, a lot of these mid-majors are pretty good. I mean, you look at the top 25 in college basketball, it's still all the big names, but there's some real good mid-major teams out there and so-called mid-major. And if you're bringing them in on a sleepy Saturday afternoon, Thanksgiving weekend, you better be ready to play or else they're going to clip you.
Yeah, and that's, I think now you're faced, if you're Jim Boeheim, you got, you know, not concerning us, but, you know, living in that environment in Central New York where Syracuse is the pro team and they're talked about every day. They got losses to Colgate and Bryant. Your Jim Burton, your Jim Boeheim is already facing, you know, some doubters because they feel like he should retire. And every type of loss that hits Boeheim now, like this loss, is going to be effective. It's gonna hit a little bit, and that's gonna hurt. I know, you know, look, 6 games in, they're 3-3. Reason to panic? No, but you know how people think up there, they do.
Yeah, people are a little bit spoiled everywhere. Even here in Providence, you know, they're a work in progress. You know, just kind of shift over to Providence because I was at the game yesterday. I think they're going to still have a good season. I do. I think they're a team that's just trying to find an identity. They have so many new pieces out there on the floor that they're just Ed Cooley's trying to just move them around and find out who his best 7 or 8 are. I think he's got a good deep basketball team, and they have some good young talent, and you know they have a team I think that can do stuff. They're gonna be in the tournament this year. Let's just say that. And I think some people, you know, look at Bryce Hopkins. He just kind of floats out there sometimes. I think he sometimes lets the game come to him instead of attacking the game. Croswell's terrific yesterday. I mean, the freshman Pierre is really good. He's really good. And, you know, you put him with Jaden Pierre, you put him with Bynum out there on the court, you've got 2 really good guards. And you can start with that, and you got some really good forwards. You've got something. So they'll build on it. And they've got a big game this week at TCU Wednesday night in the Big 12 Big East Challenge. That'll be an interesting game because TCU is a pretty good team. They beat Iowa last night. So that'll be a real good test for Providence coming up this week.
TCU, an athletic powerhouse. They're going to be a playoff participant likely in the college football playoff. Jamie Dixon's got it going for TCU basketball, so that will be a test. But so you were at the Amp, huh? What was it like? Was it a little sleepy?
No. Yeah, I mean, the students weren't there, obviously, but still, it was 9,000 people there. I mean, they have done an unbelievable job of building up their season ticket base and making the experience a fun experience. It's just it's a great way to, you know, great basketball, really good basketball, and then a fun environment. It's a lot more fun when the students are there. But they weren't there yesterday, but there's still a nice crowd, and it's Providence kind of just, they did what they had to do. You know, they did what they had to do. Columbia is a struggling program right now, so they did what they had to do to win, and then now they've got a couple road games this week at TCU, then of course at Rhode Island next Saturday.
Yes, that game's on ESPNU. Got Rhode Island today against BC on the ACC network at noon. Hence the reason why I'm remote. Tim is headed to Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin Wake Forest on Tuesday night will be at the Kohl Center in lovely Madison, downtown Madison, in a sea of red. And that should be a good game. Both teams are pretty good, but neither of them are ranked. I mean, Wisconsin had Kansas dead in the water in the Bahamas and just had twice lost the game when they shouldn't have. Once at the end of regulation, Kansas saved the ball going out of bounds, threw it back out to the top of the key. Guy was standing there wide open, hit a 3, sent it to overtime, and then a missed shot, reverse layup tip-in with 0.8 seconds to go. With a 1-point lead by Kansas, tipped it in. So they won 2 games in the Bahamas. They beat USC. So they're pretty good. Wisconsin's, you know, good shooters, good size, and So it'll be a fun week. You know, the ACC Big Ten Challenge is going on this week. So some really good teams and some good games going on there, because the Big Ten's got some quality teams. Indiana's very good. And that's why TCU's win over Iowa was impressive, because I was pretty good as well. So it's and Purdue beat the heck out of Gonzaga the other night. So it's going to be
if you're one of those who, you know, not that you and I are one, if you go down to some Rhode Island casinos once in a while, and if you're interested in college basketball games in the early season, I wouldn't touch them. I wouldn't touch them ever, for that matter. It is an art.
Save your college money, Meter. Save your college
save it. Money. Exactly. Save it. Imagine the Gonzaga game, for instance. If, you know, Joe Average is going to look at that game. Oh, I know Gonzaga. They're good. They're in the Final Four once in a while. They're a good tournament team. Okay. See what happens. They lose.
Well, yeah. And how about our friends that, you know, we do get this, they get this station over in the great, lovely town of Storrs in Mansfield, Connecticut. And, in Manchester, because I know my good friend Gino Oriama tunes this in on a Sunday morning on his transistor. Yes. On his transistor as he's having his coffee.
It's
so,
like a fireside chat for Gino.
UConn, Iowa State tonight, if you care to stay up, 10 p.m. from Portland in the championship of the Phil Knight tournament out there. So that's that'll be a good battle. I mean, UConn just dismantled Alabama the other night. I mean, they a real good Alabama team, and they just locked them down. UConn is good. UConn's a good team. And Iowa State, who's in the championship game, beat North Carolina, who was number one in the country. So we've seen a lot of upsets already. I mean, Kansas went down to Tennessee the other night. North Carolina losing. Gonzaga's already has two losses. So it's going to be a wild year. It's going to be a wild year.
We said it last year, too. Is it going to be a blue blood year? I don't think so. I think it's one of those years in the tournament coming up. I know it's an early trend, but I think you're going to see a lot of mid-majors make a run because the talent gap is so slim. It is you talk to any coach and you talk to them every week, as do I, on these sessions we do with them before their games for ESPN. And what do they say? I don't care if it's Jim Boeheim. I don't care if it's, you know, the Edward Joyner at Hampton. They'll tell you that the slim margin of error is prevalent every single game.
Now you look at it, and that's why when you've got to keep your team, you can't lose your mind as a coach. You know, you lose to a Bryant, you lose to whoever. BC lost to Maine. They got a scary game today with Rhode Island. You know, Rhode Island loses to Quinnipiac. You can't lose your mind, because it's a long season. It is a long season, and it's how you finish. You got to try to just keep getting better. You know, these games, you have to take the good out of it and the bad out of it and try to keep building your team, because you have opportunity in these conferences. You know, the Big East, the Atlantic 10, the ACC, you're going to have so many opportunities to get yourself back up off the mat with your conference that you got to just try to keep getting better. You can't listen to the noise about who you lost to, because you see these upsets, they're all over the map. They're everywhere. And you look at the scores and like, how did this happen? I mean, my good friend Mike Hopkins at University of Washington losing to Cal Baptist or someone. I have never even heard of these schools. So you got to keep getting your team better. That's all you can do. Yep. And you got to try to shut down the noise and keep getting better, especially when you have a young team.
Yeah, no, well said. Could have another St. Peter's in the cards this year. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Maybe it will be Bryant. Who knows?
Well, it's amazing. Just a quick story. I was reminded of this by some people we went to the game with yesterday, that a year ago on that day, on that Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend, we were at the time the dunk and watched Providence beat St. Peter's by like 8 or 9 or 11 or whatever it was. They kind of just took care of business. And who knew that day? If you told me you have a dollar, you can bet on St. Peter's to get to the Elite Eight, I would have said, see you later. You know, it's amazing. So you don't know in this day and age. And that's a great point by you. I mean, And that team right from that day to the end of the season was a totally different basketball team. So it can happen. It can happen. And that's why I think Providence is going to be good. I think the pieces are there. They just got to try to move them around and fit them a little bit better. And I think and the players have to do a better job of listening to the coaches, because I think that they have the talent to get there. I think they will.
Yeah, well, you got to block out the noise, which is an unenviable task in our social media world, that's for sure. 401-737-1287, Meter and the Coach until 9.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.